life. This morning we continue this good news series. And we're looking at the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a physician, and so we've kind of titled the entire series Good News from the Doctor. And sometimes the news we get from the doctor isn't good. But when we look at it from God's news, it ought to encourage us. And this morning we're in Luke chapter 6, and as I've said, as we've introduced this series, this is kind of that 35,000-foot overview of the Gospel of Luke, because it's full of good news. And it would take a very long time, either I would spend all day, multiple days, or a lot of years in the time slot that we normally have allotted on Sunday morning to deeply cover the Gospel of Luke. And so this is this big overview. And this morning, we're going to look at the idea of learning something new. And as I thought about being that Messianic Christian Academy highlight day, one of the things that we hope that schools are doing, one of the things they do here is to teach students something they probably didn't know. And yet, in reality, that's God's desire for every one of us, every day that we live, is that we would be focused in on learning something new. Now, from my understanding, my perspective, learning requires at least two things. It requires a teacher and it requires a learner. Now, sometimes that teacher is a person, sometimes that teacher is circumstances, it might be life itself. But many times that teacher is an individual that God brings into our life that helps us to see things from His perspective rather than our own perspective. And as Jesus comes on the scene through the Gospel of Luke, He encounters a lot of people that, well, that think they know a lot about God. And He has all of these encounters with the religious leaders and those that are teachers of the law, that are teachers of God's word. And because that's what they do, they kind of believe that they know it. And then Jesus comes and teaches in a way that even those that think they know it learn something new. One of the things that I love about reading and studying and memorizing and meditating upon God's word is that as long as I've done that, I continually find new things. Things that I look at and says, well, how did I not see that before? And one of the reasons is because my life is different now than what it was a year ago, than what it was 10 years ago, than what it was 20 years ago. And I wasn't looking for the same things back then as I look for now. I need God's help and always, but I need God's help in specific ways now that I wasn't even aware that I needed 20 years ago. And so I gaze into His Word and I discover that His Word is designed that we can learn something new every time we look into it. It's not that it changes. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that God's Word changes. In fact, God says He doesn't change. But what changes is what I need and what He feeds me through His Word. So we're going to be looking at actually three different stories out of Luke chapter 6 to learn what it looks like to learn something new. You see, while all of the teachings of Jesus was based on the truth of God's word, that many of His followers would be very familiar with, it was His application. It was the way He taught that allowed them to constantly learn something new. So if you're new here, my typical sermon outline uses a word. It's this acrostic that helps you to remember the message, hopefully. And so today's word is new. And we begin by recognizing that when we learn something new, God wants us to learn something necessary. I mean, it's one thing, and there are people that fill their minds with lots of things that to others are meaningless. Now, to them, it may have great meaning, but it's just stuff sometimes. But God's desire is that we would look into His Word and we would learn something that's necessary. Luke 6, beginning at verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and His disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them into their hands, and eat the kernels. Now, for most of us, that probably sounds like, so what? They were hungry. Some of the Pharisees, however, asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Now, to the Pharisees, to the teachers of the law, what they were doing was working, and working was not allowed. And they had very strict guidelines of what constituted work and what didn't. And somehow picking these grain heads and rubbing them in their hands constituted work. And so the Pharisees were upset. Verse 3, Jesus answered them, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It's easy to get caught up in the ideals of legalism because it's neat and tidy and it kind of is easy to decide whether you're in or you're out. And the religious leaders in the day of Jesus were very good at that. And then Jesus comes along and he says, I want to teach you, I want you to learn what's necessary, and what's necessary is relationship. What's necessary is understanding the needs of an individual. And so to condemn a person because they're doing something to satisfy their hunger takes the letter of the law and it applies it in a way that was not meaningful, that really was not necessary. And Jesus uses the example of David as he was fleeing from King Saul, who was constantly trying to track him down to kill him. Had been without food, and they enter the temple, and there's this tabernacle where there's this area where they keep the bread, the stuff that's dedicated to God. And that's all there is. And Jesus says, you guys are teachers of the law. You surely have heard this story. You've taught this story. David was able to eat that. Even though the law said it was forbidden, there was a greater law. There was something necessary here, and that's compassion for mankind. And as we listen to Jesus, as we gaze into his word, the point of what he wants us to know is that people are what matters. It's not that we accept sin. It's not that we sugarcoat sin. It's not that we ignore sin. But we don't enforce what we believe at the expense of hurting people. And Jesus says, I want you to learn what's necessary. People need to know Jesus. He said, the Son of Man himself, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is who's in charge of the body of Christ. As we think about the things that we want our children to learn, whether it's here at Michiana Christian Academy or whether it's in any of the school systems, and we have great people that are part of Deer Run that work in a variety of school systems. And I'm confident that each one of them have that same mindset, that I want these students, I want these children that I interact with to learn what's necessary. And so we teach them the fundamentals of reading and writing and arithmetic and language arts and social studies and all of the things that we typically think of schools teaching. Because it's important that we know how to learn for ourselves. It's important that we know those kinds of things. But we also teach that they're loved. What's necessary is that there's this sense, this feeling, this acknowledgement that somebody cares about them. And so I applaud all of those Christian teachers and staff members wherever you work, because you have that opportunity to teach what's necessary. And we learn from God. That's what's necessary, is this relationship. But not only are we to learn something necessary as we learn something new, we also learn something eternal. And it's really this eternal nature that makes it necessary. Jumping down to Luke 6, verse 20. This is kind of Luke's version of the Beatitudes. He says, looking at his disciples, he said, that is, Jesus says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Now, I suspect, just as if you go over in Matthew and you look at these Beatitudes, the first parts always sound kind of strange. Blessed are you when you are poor. And we hear that and we think, well, that doesn't sound right. You know, we live in America where our ideal is to become as wealthy as we possibly can. And then God comes along and teaches something new and says, you're blessed when you're poor. Why? Because the kingdom of God belongs to you. You're blessed when you're hungry. I said, well, I don't like to go hungry. You know, when I get done with a Sunday, my typical routine is to go to the Chinese buffet and eat as much as I can hold. After reading this, maybe I need to rethink that. But God says, blessed are you when you're hungry, because you'll be satisfied. You see, he teaches something new. He takes things that they thought they knew, and he applies an eternal aspect to it, an eternal characteristic. He says all of these things that we struggle with in this life are temporary. As Christians, as those that pursue Jesus, as those that live in relationship with him, regardless of how full or empty our bank account is, that's temporary. He says when we get discouraged because we're trying to figure out how to pay the bills, he says, recognize there's something bigger than that. The kingdom of God belongs to you if you're in Christ. And he calls us to learn the eternal nature of being in relationship with him. It doesn't mean that these things don't happen to Christians. In fact, Jesus says, and I say this often because I think we need reminded, in this world you will have trouble. One of those verses we typically don't have our kids memorize for some reason. It's not all that cheery or uplifting. But he wants to teach us something new. He wants us to learn the eternal nature of life in Christ. Paul, and you read his descriptions of some of the stuff that he went through as he would preach and teach about Jesus, was horrific. And he says, I consider these difficulties, these persecutions, but just light and momentary compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Paul understood the eternal nature of life. That every one of us that live on this earth, short of the return of Jesus, during our lifetime, will die. Life here on earth is a temporary condition, but life itself is eternal with Christ. And so when we begin to learn something new, we begin to learn this eternal nature, and we see things from a different perspective. And it ought to help us to overcome our own greediness that says, I don't want to give to someone else because I might need this later. You see, that eternal nature says, my relationship, it's that necessity of being in relationship with God and being in relationship with one another that says, I'm willing to share what God has entrusted me with because I value people more than I value stuff. And we don't reach that point generally until we learn this eternal lesson that says none of my stuff is going into heaven with me. But what am I doing to help the people around me live in relationship with Christ so that they can be in heaven? Jesus comes along and he begins to teach in a new way. So many times the crowds would come and listen, and it says they were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one with authority and not like the teachers of the law. It says two things. Jesus' teaching was powerful, but it also says the teaching of those that they were accustomed to listening to didn't seem to make sense to them. They didn't believe it. They didn't put it into practice. To them, it had no authority. It was just words. And I think so often we look into God's word, and if we're not careful, we begin to have that mindset that it's just words. I can take it or leave it. And when we learn something eternal, we begin to learn that these words God says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fail. Amen. And so we use God's word to pattern how we live life. But we use God's word to pattern how we live life to benefit one another, not simply benefit self. And I know that's a harsh lesson to learn in this American culture. Because we've been taught and we've been trained and it's been ingrained in our mind that it is about us. And God says it's about your brothers and sisters. It's about one another. It's about those that are overlooked. It's about those who are oppressed. It's about those who wake up every morning and there's no one to say, you're doing a great job. It's about the countless students across Michiana that go to school every morning and have never heard you're loved. You see, this eternal message, this eternal lesson is one that God wants us to grasp because it ought to change how we treat one another and it ought to change how we interact every day that we live. Not only do we learn something new and we learn something necessary when we learn something eternal, we learn something new and we learn something wise. Down at the end of Luke chapter 6. Familiar story, particularly within the context of children's ministry. The wise and foolish builders. Verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a person building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock, and when a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like one who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment that torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was great. Jesus' desire is that when we learn something new, we learn something wise. And the criteria that Jesus places on what is wise and what is not is whether we're applying what he says. I've said this before, God's word, his scriptures, what we have to read and hear is meant to be transformational, not just informational. And that's what he says in that story of the wise and foolish builders. The wise one is like a person that built their house on a foundation. They had something substantial to hold on to. Because storms of life will come. And yes, the house on the beach that's built on the sand sure looks nice when the weather's nice. I mean, I love visiting those kinds of places. If you remember just last year, hurricane season that went through the Fort Myers Beach area and all the video and pictures of that, there were very few of those houses still standing. I've always thought it'd be fun because there would be one or two in the midst of all of this destruction and to go and learn how was that house built and how was it built differently from all of the rest of them. My guess is it has a lot to do with what Jesus taught. It was built on a foundation that they installed, that they dug deep, much deeper than what anyone else thought was necessary. But they kept going until they hit something solid. And when we gaze into God's Word, we find that solid foundation. We learn something wise. But only if we do it. James says, what good is faith without deeds? He says, it's dead faith. Because if you say you believe something, but you're not doing anything about it, do you really believe it? You know, if I was to stand here this morning and said I had, and I don't, so this is just a theoretical illustration, and I said I had a $100 bill for the first person that came up here, and no one came, and you'd all say, did he really have one or didn't he? And somebody come up to me afterwards and says, since nobody got it, could I get that $100 bill? I said, well, no, you didn't do what was asked of you. You didn't believe enough to humble yourself and come forward and say, I really want that. And God says this wisdom that we need to live with is a wisdom that hears God's word and we're willing to humble ourselves enough to say, God, I need that. That's really where the heart of the matter comes. We like the good news of God's word. We like the positive stuff. We just don't like to change all that much. And so when God says, unless we humble ourselves and become like a little child, we'll in no way enter the kingdom of heaven, we say, well, I don't want to do that. I'm too proud. I'm too important. I'm too whatever it is to admit I need that kind of help. But we learn something wise when we learn to submit to God, to build our life on His foundation. There's so many times I sit down with individuals and talk with them about the difficult situations they are in the midst of. And time after time, those who have lived a life that shows the fruit of faithfulness to God continue to hold on to that. And those who have lived a life that have not shown a fruit of faithfulness to God are finding themselves in great distress. You see, God's desire is that we live life learning something new. We learn what's necessary. What's necessary is our relationship with Him and our relationship with one another. Jesus says the greatest commands are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. He says all of the rest of the laws and prophets, everything else is summed up in those two commands. So we learn something new and we learn what's necessary and we love God and we love people. No exceptions. No fine print. We just do it. We learn something new and we learn something eternal and we recognize that the only way off of this planet that makes any sense is to be in relationship with Jesus and to be in eternity with Him. That the stuff of this life is temporary. And our actions ought to reflect that. Our actions ought to be learning something wise because we're putting into practice the things of God's Word. And the Bible says, what is it that God requires of you? The text tells us to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. When we begin to do those things, we put those into practice. We live as those who are wise. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, it's a time for every person. Whether you're here this morning and you're an immersed believer in Jesus, you have surrendered to Him, I believe there's always something for us to decide. And that's, will I learn something new today? Have I learned what's necessary in my own life? Have I learned what's eternal to value it? Have I learned what's wise so I'll do it? If you're here this morning, or if you're watching, listening online, and you've never surrendered to Jesus, that's where it begins. Jesus comes along and says, I want to make you new. Not just simply teach you new things, I want to make you a new creation. God says when we turn to Him, when we're immersed into Christ, when our sins are washed away, He gives us His Spirit, He forgives our sins, and we are a new creature. So if you've never made that decision, that's where it starts. As we gather for a time of decision, as we do each week, if there's something that you need to pray with someone about, if you need to talk to someone about that decision that God has called you to make, in just a moment you'll be able to come and join me in the room to my left, and we can learn more about what that decision is and how we can help. But if the decision God is calling you to make is a decision that's simply between Him and you, maybe even a decision between you and someone else that you can do privately, I pray that you make that decision before you leave. Whatever it is, God's desire is that you would learn something new in such a way that you put it into practice. Would you stand as we sing?